though your testing seems long, in darkness he giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake, he knoweth the end of his path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. I could not see through the shadows ahead, so I looked at the cross of my Savior.
Like to this morning invite you over to the book of Ruth chapter 3 verse 1. The book of Ruth chapter 3 verse 1. The book of Ruth chapter 3 verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people to worship you. And Lord, we pray and ask for your blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you. Lord, that you might be honored and glorified, and that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, that our lives would be empowered for your honor and glory, that we might enjoy the salvation that you have provided for us, that we might walk in your spirit, in your joy, and in your peace, to be the light of the world you've called us to be. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is, "That it may be well with thee." That it may be well with thee. And we're going to look at three thoughts this morning as we consider what's taking place here. And that is a reminder of God's grace and guidance. That's the first thought. A reminder of God's grace and guidance. And a mother's godly guidance. And then the last thought will be God's blessing of confidence. God's blessing of confidence. And here what we find is Naomi, who lost her husband and her two sons, and comes back to Israel with her daughter-in-law.
And the scriptures are very clear and very careful to spell out that she is the mother-in-law, but she addresses Ruth as her daughter. I like that. She had a love for her daughter, and her daughter had a love for her. And that was all culminated really around the God of Israel, the God of salvation. And so here we see the care and concern of a godly mother for the comfort of her child. We also see that Naomi wanted both God's physical and spiritual blessings for her daughter Ruth. And this is recorded in the scriptures for us today to imitate and to enjoy. God gives us these things for our examples that we might enjoy those, seek those things out, believe the Lord. That's how it all works. God says something, that settles it. If we believe it, it's to our blessing. Amen? And we can enjoy and experience what God has regardless for each and every one of us. In spite of what the world is doing, in spite of what the world is seeking, we need to be reminded of this. Spiritually speaking, we are born blind. And we don't see. We can try to approach the things, but unless God opens up our hearts and our eyes, we cannot see the things God wants us to see. And so the world approaches spiritual things by the physical realm. And you can't do that. You won't see God that way. But God opens up the hearts and minds of those that seek Him. He's promised that those who seek Him diligently are going to find Him. And so what I want to just contemplate just for a moment here, and we're not going to go back there, but back in chapter 1, verse 12, Naomi was resolved to widowhood, but that was not her mind for Ruth. She did not want that for Ruth. Naomi was in a different place in life. She was older in life. She was not looking. Remember, she mentioned, listen, if I were to get married today, she wasn't going to get married. She wasn't looking for a husband. If I were to get married today and have a child, would you wait? When she was trying to encourage her daughters-in-law to go back to their father's house because she loved them. But listen, some might say, well, listen, maybe Naomi should have encouraged Ruth and Orpah, her other daughter-in-law, to come with her to Israel. Unless God is working, we are wasting our time. It's not that we don't want to encourage them, but it is God that does a work. And as you remember, Ruth was steadfastly minded. She said, listen, your people are going to be my people. And she starts off with, your God is going to be my God. Your people are going to be my people. And where you die, I'm going to be buried there too. And that, I think she was committed. Nobody had to talk her into that. Nobody tried to persuade her into that. She saw something in Naomi, her mother-in-law, concerning her God that gave her a truth that she was not willing, and a relationship with her mother-in-law, and no doubt with the Lord, that changed her life. The world doesn't understand that. Before I got saved, if I would have saw somebody that loved the Lord, I would have just said, oh, they're a religious fanatic. That's what I would have said, because that's how I understood it. But missing out, oh no, listen, they had a relationship. God gave them something that I didn't know anything about. And God wants to give you and I more of that good thing. Or if you don't know the Lord, He wants to give you something that will be better than anything you will ever experience on this side of eternity, with the hope of an eternal future that where the best is yet going to take place, that we can't even, the Bible says, hasn't even entered into our minds the things that God has in store for us. So with that said, let me just show you something here. And this is a reminder of God's grace and guidance. Look at verse 1 again. And then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Who's motivated here? Ruth is not looking for a husband. She wasn't looking for a husband. But Naomi said, I see something taking place here. I see something that God is involved with here that I want you to have. Isn't that good? Listen, that's what parents do that know the Lord. Listen, God is giving me something good that I want to pass along to you, that I want you to enjoy as well. And that's what makes a godly mother, and that's what makes a godly father. Verse 2, and now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Now, what you have to realize is this is a time of harvest where there was a celebration that was taking place. Everybody was, whether they were shearing sheep or whatever it was that they were harvesting, they were celebrating the blessings of God. And there was a way to do that. Now, I just want to back up just for a moment and show you how God works, because Naomi wasn't moving until she saw God move. This is important. Naomi wasn't moving until she saw God move. You know why? Because they moved before, possibly when God wasn't moving, and they left Israel for Moab, okay? But what we find here, look at chapter 2 just for a moment and see what's transpired or what's caused this to come to pass in chapter 3. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, which is her husband, and his name was Boaz. Now, keep this thought in mind also, because the central focus right here is Boaz. But remember, there was a kinsman redeemer that was before Boaz. But God already knew, the Holy Spirit sharing with us, that Boaz was the man of interest. In fact, the other kinsman redeemer isn't even mentioned. The other kinsman redeemer's concern, we're not going to get into it, was concerned for his own name, not raising up another one in honor of the dead. All right, so what he was to do, what the kinsman redeemer was to do, was to raise up seed to the one who had died in his name, see? And so this other kinsman redeemer, he said, no, I don't, listen, you take it, Boaz. And you know what happened? That man, we don't even know what his name is today, but what is the lineage of Boaz, if not the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he was willing to raise up seed for the dead, because he was willing to think of somebody else and not himself, God blessed him. And so notice this in chapter 2 again, verse 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Now, they have no clue where they're going. She just says, I'm going to go try to find somebody, because Israel had made a way for the poor to be able to glean food for themselves. And they were poor at this time. She left full and she came back empty. She didn't have anything. And then verse 3 says, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was, it just happened to be, to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Just happened to work out that way. No, that was God. Look, it appears to you and I that it just happened to work that way, but don't you think God was working?
Amen.
Amen? It is no mistake that you are here this morning. Listen, it has been planned in eternity past. Our lives have, listen, God already knows, because he's God. Now, it's not saying that we don't have the freedom of choice. We do. But God, being eternal, knows already the end of everything from the very beginning. He's already seen it all because he is eternal. I know, listen, I don't understand that. You don't understand that. We can just only just listen and hear and believe what God has said. It's just that simple. Now, I think we'll understand a whole lot more about it when we get onto the other side in eternity. We'll say, oh, okay, this is how God can see all these things. And I still don't understand it. But anyway, let's get back to our text in chapter 3. And this is a reminder of God's grace and guidance here in verses 1 and 2. Back in chapter 2, the first three verses, it just happened to work out that way, but God was in control. And now she's saying in verse 1 again, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? She's got plans now that she sees how God is working. Boaz is in the picture now. Because she comes back and she says, hey, listen, I happen to be on this field that belonged to Boaz. Oh, let me tell you about Boaz and who he is. Verse 2, and now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. So This is God's grace and guidance, and Naomi is taking hold of that for her daughter, her daughter-in-law, but her daughter, Ruth. Amen? And now I want you to see a mother's godly guidance. Look at verse 3. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. Okay, so this is the celebration. There's a lot of people going to be there. Surely all of his reapers are going to be there. All of his maidens that work for him. And they're all going to be there. And she doesn't say, decorate thyself, paint your eyes, do all this stuff. She says, just clean yourself up because there's a beauty. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. Please don't misunderstand me. But there is a beauty that goes past the physical realm. There is a relationship that goes beyond the physical. Because the physical is temporal, is it not? It doesn't last forever. There's something that goes deeper than that. So he says, don't make yourself known. Verse 4, and it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. Now listen, I want you to know something. He's got his place, but he is in the midst of all of the people that are working with him, and they're celebrating. This is a big time of celebration. And now this is Naomi's advice to Ruth. So he says, this is what I want you to do. Verse 5, and she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Ruth said that to Naomi. And so here we find Ruth's obedience. And she's just, listen, this is, she doesn't know which way, but she's trusting Naomi, her mother, her mother-in-law. She's got complete trust. That's a good relationship to have when people can see that we have their genuine welfare in mind, right? We're concerned about the best for them, all right? So now look at this commitment to the Lord here that Boaz had. Look at verse 6. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. So you can get this idea. This is where they brought in all the harvest. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thine skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. So she is, now he's being given the information, hey, listen, and he knows who she is. But she's saying now, you're a near kinsman. What is that talking about? That is talking about raising seed to the dead. Not to himself, but for the dead. And so now, you're the near kinsman, and really there was one that was before him, but are you open to this idea? Are you willing to do this? All right. So, verse 10, and he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. He says, listen, blessed are you. Let me just tell you what I've seen in you. Verse 11, and now, my daughter, fear not, I will do thee all that thou requirest, for all the city, listen, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Isn't that something? He says, I am willing to do the part of a kinsman for you. But he's not the first one in line. But he says, I'm willing to do that because I see in you something that goes beyond the physical realm. Now, we don't really know what she looked like physically, but there was a beauty that we're seeing right here of her love for the Lord and walking upright and not following after men. Verse 12. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. And notice he says, tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then I will do it. I will do the part of the kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. So he is committed to following what the Lord said should take place. And so he's got a relationship with the Lord. And in his faithfulness to the Lord, God placed him right in the lineage of the Messiah. Isn't that amazing? And so, and by the way, listen. Ruth is of the lineage of the Moabites, an ungodly people. Isn't that amazing? God brought this girl that did not have a godly upbringing, right, in, not just into the family of God, but into the lineage of the Messiah. That's our God. Did she deserve that? No. Do we deserve it? No. What was it? The love of God. The love of God for all who will believe and receive the love of God. And so we find now here this compassion that Boaz has. Look at verse 14. And she lay at his feet until the morning. And she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said, bring the veil. Listen to this. Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. And she went into the city. He was not just concerned for her well-being, he was also concerned for Naomi. So here we find a mother's godly guidance brings the blessings of God. Listen, it affected her daughter-in-law, Ruth, that she called her daughter. It affected Boaz, but it also was a blessing on Naomi as well. And the last thought is we find God's blessing of confidence. Look at verse 16. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her half of what happened, right? No, she told her all. She said, hey, listen, let me tell you everything that God is doing, all that the man had done to her. Now listen, you got to love this. When a mother has a daughter, and there's this relationship of a husband involved, she's involved. And she wants, let me ask you this question. Do you think Naomi wanted what was best or just to get rid of Ruth? She wanted what was best. She said, listen, I've got a heart for you. You are not my physical daughter by birth, but you couldn't be any closer. Do you believe that? You couldn't be any closer than if you were my own. Do you know that when somebody trusts the Lord as their Savior, when they're, the Bible says you're born again into His family, do you know that we become joint heirs with Christ? Amen. You couldn't get any closer to the Lord. In the eyes of God the Father, you couldn't get any closer. And what He sees is the blood of Christ in your life and mine as our righteousness. Because we don't have any. And God knows that. Even our righteousness, even the good things that we would like to do, this is what the world doesn't understand. Because the world says this. Now, do you believe in heaven? And the ones that say, oh yeah, I believe in heaven. Are you going to go there? Yeah, I think I'm going to get there. Yeah, I'm going to probably make it. Why? Well, here comes the scale. What's God going to do? He's going to take all of my good things and all of my bad things, and you know what? I am almost sure I've got just a little, just enough good to squeak in. Well, here's what God says. You know all that good that you think is going to get you in? Throw it on the other side, because that's how God sees it. Without the blood of Christ, our righteousness or what we think is good is on this side. There's nothing here unless it's the blood of Christ. And there can't be anything else but the blood of Christ. If people are thinking, yeah, I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, but I got to do my part, you're like this. You've missed eternal life. Oh, but you don't understand, I've been baptized. That's still like this. That's what you did. The only thing that will get you and I into eternal life is only what Jesus did. Amen. That's it. If you're looking to anything else, I'm here to warn you, you're going to fall short. See, you can't look to God's righteousness, that's his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, shed his blood to pay for how many of our sins? So if he paid for all of them, you can't pay for them either. You can't pay for them. If he paid for them, you insult him by trying to pay for it. If one of your kids want to give you a gift, do you think they want you to pay for it? Yes. Only Brother Voller. That's it. Brother, so for Brother Voller's kids, make sure you pay for it. Oh, that can happen. All right. Anyway, if I give my kids a gift, I can understand where you're coming from, Brother Voller. On a certain day, I might just want them. No, I'm kidding. If I buy them a gift, I don't want them to pay me for that. Right? It would be an insult. That's not why I'm giving it. Why do I, when somebody gives a gift, why? Why do they give a gift? Love. Why? I'm wanting to pay the price because I love you. God has paid the price. All we have to do is understand the love of God and receive it. He's already done it. Everybody already has been given eternal life. Did you know that? It's there. It's been paid for. You just have to know it's there, believe it and receive it. I want it for me, Lord. I understand and I will acknowledge what you say, God. Don't you like this? Listen. God says, take everything, the good and the bad, and throw it on one side. And just put the blood of my son that will more than pay for it. Without anything you can do or should do. I'll pay for it all. And that's your sure way of eternal life. Isn't that amazing? Amen. God says, I want to do it all. And he didn't just stop at salvation. To love the Lord. To walk in his ways. He wants to do that as well. It's easy. When a child of God gets saved, he's placed into the family of God. Please tell me, what's placed in the child's life? What's in his life? Is it not the Holy Spirit? Have we not been given the earnest of the Spirit? You listen, when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, as a down payment, God puts the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we don't have the power. So God has not only redeemed us, but then he's given to us his Spirit, that we might walk in him and not in ourselves. Now listen, a lot of people believe, oh yes, I've trusted the Son of God and what he did for me to give me eternal life, but they don't believe that the Spirit of God can do anything for them. Now, all that does, let me just clarify that. If somebody truly says, I cannot pay for any of my sins, Jesus paid for them all, I am putting my complete faith and trust in what he did to give me eternal life, you're born again. You're born again. Now, whether you understand it or whether I understand it or not, we are also given, because we're born again, the Spirit of God. And whether we understand it or not, that is the power source to the believer. That is it. We may not use him, we may not understand it, we may not have received it, but it's still ours. And he still indwells us. But oh, what freedom. Oh, listen, oh, what power. Oh, what rejoicing it brings to understand that, wait a minute, God, why did you save me in the first place? Glory for thee. And you have indwelt me with the Holy Spirit that you might give power to me. Salvation brings glory to God. The Holy Spirit gives me power to walk in his ways. What a gift. That's all wrapped up in one. That is one gift. Eternal life, a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's a two-part gift. But it's yours nonetheless if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It empowers us to understand. Well, have you ever read the Word of God and had the aha moment? Where, my goodness, I've read that more than once, and wow, I see this now. Well, that's the Holy Spirit guiding you into the truth. And the more that you, and listen, by the way, whether I believe it or not, whether you believe it or not, does the Holy Spirit still indwell you? So you know what? Listen, today, Lord, you've indwelt me with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to acknowledge. That's me receiving it. That's me believing it and receiving it. And that's where our peace comes from. That's where our joy, and that's where the fulfillment of life comes from. It's the Spirit of God. And so Naomi has all this. Ruth has all this. Oh, but listen, what joy when it's being shared and it's being multiplied in the lives of many people. In this particular case, in a marital relationship. But there's all different kinds of relationships that we can have as believers. But notice this confidence here in verse 16 again. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" Now, you got to love this. And she told her all that the man had done to her. Can you imagine that conversation? I think she told every little stinking thing. Every little thing. This was probably, you know, I'm just going to be 10 minutes on the phone. And then an hour goes by. And the conversation, I don't know what they talk about, but they talk about all different kinds of things about what's going on in life, right? Okay. And if you've ever been involved in your children finding a mate, don't you want what's best for them? Don't you want them to have a godly mate influence? And so, don't ask Dad. Dad doesn't see anything good. Amen? Doesn't see a thing good. I got a raised eyebrow. But I want you to know that I want what's best. I do. I want it to be the right relationship. God wants it even more. You know, listen, I love my children. I do. I love my children. I dare say I would put my life in harm's way to protect them. I dare say I would do that. God loves them even more than I do. Amen? I don't understand that. In my little brain, I can't think how God could love them more than I, because I can't think how I could love my kids and my family more than I do. And yet God loves His own more than we love our own. How can you say that, Brother George? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross for me when I didn't love Him. And I wanted really no part with Him. I could care less, but I didn't know. I did not know. I understand a little bit better now. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God loved them. My wife and I went out yesterday, and we went to a place where there were two people working back there that were surely confused as to how God had created them. And they were taking hormones to change who they are. You could see it. You could see it. And my wife, we almost left. But we said, no, we're going to stay. And my wife and I got to talking about it. Because they're ones for whom Christ died. And if we can't show them the love, the unconditional love, God loves them. He does love them. I don't approve one bit of what they're doing. But I want you to know God didn't approve one bit of my life before Christ. God doesn't approve one bit of any life without salvation. All of them are condemned. All of them are condemned. And I was not involved. But I would have been just as condemned. I was not involved in what they were doing. And what they were involved in, God calls an abomination. But you know what Jesus says? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now they have to believe and receive to be forgiven. But how will they do that if not through you and I? How will they do that if we don't point them to the truth? Because everybody, no matter what we're involved in, is equally undone without the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? So we have a dual purpose. We have a mission to preach the truth. We're ambassadors for Christ. But we've also been commissioned to love those that are not lovable with the love of Christ. Not to condone things. Not to be friends with them. I cannot be a buddy with somebody like that. And I would have to tell them why. And all Christian love is because you have chosen a path that I don't walk in. I don't walk in. And I'll tell you why. Because I will begin to like them for who they are. And I will begin to overlook things in their lives that God doesn't want me to overlook. And they will have a negative influence in my life. And I'll not have the influence of Christ for them to see the truth. Can you possibly love people and not be their buddy? Can you be concerned for their soul and genuinely want them to have eternal life and not run around? Can you care for the drug addict and not be involved in their drug addict ways? Can you love the alcoholic? Yeah, same thing. Those things are destroying them. We can love the individual, but we don't have to partake or condone and say that those things are right. That's what they want us to do now. They're wanting us to. They're telling us this is the new morality. No, it's immoral in the eyes of God. And that's, you can grab a whole group of people and you can decide for yourself whether you're a politician, whether whatever you are, you can get a whole group of people, you can get a whole stinking continent to agree with you. You will all stand before God. We will all stand before the Lord. Amen. Now, my judgment's already passed because I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's given me eternal life. But if you and I, listen, there's a balance. There's the mission of God. And then there's the love of God. They do work together. But we cannot be part of that those things and share the truth. We can encourage people, but listen, we cannot be participants in that in those things. And so what Molech, the god of this world, is trying to do is get you and I to accept the morality of the day. It's not moral, but they call it moral. How do they call it? This is okay, and you guys are wrong if you don't agree. You guys are haters if you disagree with me. Isn't that what they say? You guys are haters. I want you to know, I don't hate them. They can say that till they're blue in the face. I really don't hate them. Why? Listen. But for the grace of God. Not that I would fall into what they're in, but I would be just as condemned. But for the grace of God. Stepping in and allowing me to see my own nakedness and my own wretchedness. Because I was, before Christ, wretched, poor, and blind. And they are too. And God says, hey, listen, bring them in. And allow them the opportunity to decide for themselves. They still have that choice to make. So when we have this on a positive note, listen. Bad relationships are destructive. Do you agree with that? Do you believe that? My wife tells our kids, and I don't know where, if she coined the phrase or what, but listen, there are worse things than not being married. And that's being married to the wrong one. You believe that? It would definitely be better not to be married than to be married, than to have a miserable relationship. I've seen them. And I tell you, listen, I don't understand. And I'm glad I don't understand. I've seen relationships start, and within 5 years, they're done. Young, professing Christians wrecking their lives. And do you know why? Because it was on the wrong foundation. It wasn't on Christ. They were believers, but it wasn't on Christ. So when there's a good relationship, when things are being done right, you want to nourish those things. And we'll close with this. Watch this. Ready? Verse 16. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, 'Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.'" He was concerned for her, right? Look at verse 18 and we're finished here. And this is God's blessing of confidence. Then said she, "Sit still, my daughter." Who's talking? Naomi's talking. Listen to this. "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall." Listen, "for the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day." God has confirmed to her, this man's not going to quit until it's all said and done. And he didn't. You'll read that in chapter 4, but that's for another day. Amen. Or this afternoon, if you'd like, you go ahead and read that. "That it may be well with thee." Listen, "that it may be well with thee" is the whole reason that God gave us his only son, that we might have eternal life. "That it may be well with thee," that it may be well with us in every relationship that we have, that we might understand the truth from the lie, the truth from the deception. Satan is hard at work today. And he is deceiving believers to believe the lie. He approached Adam and Eve, didn't he? Eve specifically. And what did he tell her? "You be God. You be God." That's what he said. She bought it. People are saying today, "Don't you tell me what to do." You know what they're doing? They're being God, aren't they? There's only one problem with that. There's only one. And they're not it. And if we'll seek the one true God, we'll find peace and joy and happiness. All in God. Let's pray. Would you stand with me? We prepare for the Lord's invitation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, for the promises that are so true, that can be experienced and tasted even today. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each and every one of our hearts. May we realize that our life, our happiness, is all found in you. Lord, if there's one or more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you help them understand that even today, they can receive you as their Savior. Bless the invitation, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.